sensations had retreated with it into the haze. My will to live, my physical vitality, my mental powers of concentration, all these had disappeared along with the pain. After I passed through that strange period of transition, what emerged was a brand new me. Whether this was the me that should have been there all along, I could not yet tell. But I did have the sense, however vague and undefined it might be, that I was at least heading in the right direction.
Krita Kano raised her eyes and looked at me, as if she wanted to hear my impressions of her story. Her hand still rested on the table. "So then," I said, "what you're saying is that the man gave you a new self, am I right?"
"Perhaps he did,"
said Krita Kano, nodding. Her face was as expressionless as the bottom of a dried-up pond.
"Being caressed by that man, and held by him, and made to feel such intense sexual pleasure for the first time in my life, I experienced some kind of gigantic physical change. Why it happened, and why of all people it had to be that man who made it happen, I have no idea. Whatever the process may have been, the fact remains that at the end of it, I found myself in a whole new container. And once I had passed through the deep confusion I mentioned earlier, I sought to accept this new self as something truer, if for no other reason than that I had been enabled to escape from my profound numbness, which had been such a suffocating prison to me. Still, the bad aftertaste remained with me for a long time, like a dark shadow. Each time I recalled those 10 fingers of his, each time I recalled that thing he put inside me, each time I recalled that slimy, lumpish thing that came, or felt as if it came, out of me, I felt terribly uneasy. I felt a sense of anger and despair that I had no means of dealing with. I tried to erase that day from my memory, but this I was unable to do because the man had pried open something inside my body. The sensation of having been pried open stayed with me, inseparably bonded to the memory of that man, along with an unmistakable sense of defilement. It was a contradictory feeling. Do you see what I mean? The transformation that I had experienced was undoubtedly something right and true, but the transformation had been caused by something filthy, something wrong and false. This contradiction, this split, would torment me for a very long time.
Again, Krita Kano stared at her hands as they lay on the table.
After that, I stopped selling my body. There was no longer any point to it.
Krita Kano's face remained expressionless. You could quit? Just like that? I asked. She nodded.
Just like that,
she said.
I didn't say anything to anybody. Just stopped selling myself. But this caused no problem. It was almost disappointing how easy it was. I'd thought they would at least call me, and I was bracing myself for the day, but it never came. They never said a thing to me. They knew my address. They knew my phone number. They could have threatened me. But nothing happened. And so, on the surface at least, I had become an ordinary girl again. By that time, I had repaid my parents everything I owed them, and I had put away a good deal of money. With what I gave him, my brother had bought another new car to waste his time driving around in, but he could never have imagined what I had done to pay him back. I needed time to get used to my new self. What kind of a being was this self of mine? How did it function? What did it feel? And how? I had to grasp each of these things through experience, to memorize and stockpile them. Do you see what I'm saying? Virtually everything inside me had spilled out and been lost. I was completely new, but I was also completely empty. I had to fill in that blank, little by little. With my own hands, I had to construct this thing I called I, or rather, make the things that constituted me. I was still officially a student, but I had no intention of returning to university.